are back at the Golden 1 Center to tip off a six-game homestand tonight. And the Drive guys are back together. Kyle Draper is back. Great to have you back, Kyle. Hope you're feeling better. Can we confirm? Jay suggested while you were gone that you had some kind of eagle-related bird flu. Is that confirmed? Hashtag confirmed?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. We haven't lost two straight games in a long time, so it was a weird feeling. I didn't know how to feel, and so I had to take a couple days, get myself together, but now I'm back. I'm ready to beat the Seahawks on Monday night, so all is good.
Good. Yeah.
You know, we don't have three-game losing streaks like other franchises, you know.
So. Oh, the franchise that you mean just went into Philly
and
knocked you around a little bit, yeah.
First place franchise there, Whitey. Make sure we get that in.
You can get with that, Jay. You can roll with that. Eagles are third right now, if I'm correct.
No, you guys are fifth. Yeah. Fifth. That'd be fifth. One, two, three, four, five.
Not in the NFC, though.
One, two, three, four, five.
Not in the NFC.
One, two, three, four, five.
That's all right.
You're fifth.
They've turned into be a wild card team, right? I mean, that's cool. Wild card.
You know what's happening now? Niners
Simone
fans
is laughing.
Turning that's into Warriors fans. The arrogance. What have you done for me? When's the last time you guys won a championship? When's the last time you guys won a Super Bowl? We're not even in the same league right now. We're not even in the same category.
Yeah, we're in the same league.
You guys
we're
the same.
Living
we're
in
off
the NFC.
Steve Young. I'm living off of Steve Young and Joe Montana.
Listen,
on,
Drapes,
man.
I know you're a little ill, and I know you're in 100%, I brother. I see you about 87% right now. I can hear it in your voice. I can see it in your features of your eyes and your pupils. Let me get you right, brother. We're in the same league. We're in the NFC, actually, so – we're not in the same
division.
Why are we
talking about this today?
You know, why not?
It's a Thursday.
We missed you.
We got a big Kings game.
Football
game.
Clarify something. NFL. A couple days ago, Jay said he had some soup for you, okay? And then when he said that, Henry Turner said, never mind that. I got his money in my pocket.
You know what it is? I didn't see Jay Friday. We didn't see him Monday. Jay was off. So this is his first chance.
Yeah.
Finally, the Niners are number one in the NFC. So he's giving it to me. I'll take it.
He doesn't need me to say this, but he did a great job last couple days.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. He did a great job.
You know, it's like subbing in for Jordan. You know what I mean? I'm sure he did an okay job, but it wasn't Jordan.
Did you just call? What was my guy named? What was his name? I forgot.
Pete Myers.
Pete Myers. Did you call me Pete Myers?
Wow.
Dang, I can't even get the Tony Kuh coach or man.
Right, the Rod Higgins.
Craig Hodges or somebody.
I love you, Jay, man. I love you.
Hey, you know what I saw last night before we get back to the Kings? Yeah. That was incredible. And I know this is one of Henry Turner's favorite players. If you get a chance, if you're a fan of the game going back a ways, we're just talking about Jordan. George Gervin, there's a documentary on NBA TV about ice. Oh, it's amazing.
Did you watch it last night?
I didn't watch it
last night.
Yes. Okay. And Michael's very prominently displayed. But it's great if you're a fan of back then. And it's funny how, you know, Henry, who used to play, talks about ice and how cool he was. And then in this documentary, you got Magic and Jalen Rose and Michael Cooper, and they're all talking about, oh, he was so cool, right? You know, these are NBA guys going, oh, Ice was so cool. It's a great documentary.
No, I got to check it out. And Iceman's probably one of the most forgotten superstars that there were in the game. I didn't know, and I need to go back and look at the documentary, he had a relationship with Marvin Gaye. I didn't know that. Like, you know, I saw
pretty
that.
Pretty close. Yeah,
exactly. And I'm a huge Marvin Gaye fan. And so I love those kind of documentaries, sports documentaries. Didn't feel quite up to watching it last night, but I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, you know, it got to the end where he was done playing, and I thought, well, okay, that's all I really care about. But then what he did after the game, the problems he had after he left the game, then what he decided to do with his life and open academies, that was the best part of the whole thing. He's an incredible guy. So anyway, definitely recommend that.
Yeah, and I only saw a snippet where he talked about who inspired him, Dr. J, Connie Hawkins, and I'm a big fan of 70s NBA basketball, the ABA as well. And so a documentary like that not only gives you an insight into the Iceman, but it's also a history lesson too, you know, and shed some light on what basketball was like back then. So I urge anybody that's a basketball fan to go check that out.
And it's also really interesting to go back to when he played in the 70s, and the game was struggling. And you look at where we are tonight as we get ready for The Kings in this brand new arena against Oklahoma City didn't even have a team back then. It's incredible how much the game has grown and how much those guys had to do with that, even though they had no idea at the time where it was all going.
Yeah, you know, and I know we're going to get into this a little later, the Draymond, the Giannis.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about just how crazy the NBA is now in terms of it's a 24-hour news cycle with the association. There's always something. Clearly, you got the great basketball games, but you got stuff in the tabloids. You got stuff on social media. Like, the NBA is the gift that keeps on giving, you know? If there's not one controversy or beef or scandal, just hold on. Wait a day or two. There'll be something else for you to talk
about. Yeah, the Draymond stuff obviously was big news, but it wasn't surprising. The Giannis thing, when I found out about that, I was like, wait, what?
What happened? I still don't know exactly what happened with Giannis and the Pacers in that game ball last night. I've looked at so much video. Like, one guy, you know, one piece of video shows the Bucks official taking a ball. Another piece of video shows the Pacers.
And Rick Carlisle says, it's okay, there's two balls. And Giannis says, yeah, but I don't know if I got the
one. I think I got a newer one. It's the NBA, man. It's the gift that keeps on giving, man. These guys are not only best, they're personalities too.
Yes.
Man. And there are storylines that extend outside of basketball that I love.
Now, since we've last had the privilege of having you on the air, the Kings, of course, they won Monday, but then they had the tough loss against the Clippers. And I think the Kings come in tonight with a sense of optimism, and I think fan base feels optimism because they got the homestand, but also a little bit of unease because the loss of the Clippers was, what, their seventh loss of nine? That was by double digits.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, yeah, the record's where they were last year, a lot of positive signs, but they keep getting hammered on the road, especially in the back end of back-to-backs, and I think people are a little unsure of exactly what's going on there.
And I think they should be, right? Like, when you look at, you know, what this Kings team is, you know, it's their third 20-point loss of the season. All of them have come on the road. They have four 20-point losses all of last season. And it happens in the NBA. I understand it. You know, in fact, last year, I forget who I was talking to, but every team in the NBA suffered at least one 20-point loss last season. So it happens. But to have three of them, you know, in your first 21 games.
Right.
I mean, that's concerning. It's one thing to lose, you know, by two, by five, by seven, but to get blown out, and what happened against the Clippers, we can't use back-to-back as an excuse because the Clippers were on a back-to-back
as well.
Should
have had an advantage over them, if anything, because they're older.
They're older, right? And they just, you know, but watching that game, and this is what concerns me, and we talked about it a little bit on Monday, I think. When you look at the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard can beat you single-handedly. Paul George can beat you single-handedly. James Harden, even at his age right now and his stature, can beat you single-handedly. They have multiple guys that can take over a game. We rely a lot on our system. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox can take over a game. But outside of that, it's more system-based. And when the system breaks down or a team defends the system, like we saw the other night, scoring only 99 points, what can you turn to? Our only guy that can rescue us on a night-in and night-out basis is De'Aaron Fox. Malik Monk has shown some. He could do it a little bit. But compared to some of these other teams, like the Clippers, you know, the offense bogs down, give it to Paul George, he'll get a bucket. The offense bogs down, give it to Kawhi, he'll get a bucket. And I think you need those kind of guys in today's NBA.
Did you just call Domas a system center? Game manager?
I did not say that. I don't think I said that. All right, just, Cam Newton.
I'm kidding. All right,
Cam Newton over there.
But I do think one of the keys to your point, one of the reasons they lost so badly to the Clippers is because, quite frankly, it does happen, but the Kings' best player had a really bad night. I mean, the Kings right now, when Fox doesn't have a good night,
right,
he had a bad night.
Right.
It's tough for them to win.
Right. And but you would think we're at a point where this team would be able to overcome a bad night from De'Aaron Fox. You got a Keegan Murray. You got a Malik Monk. You got a Kevin Huerter. And what we're seeing, you know, look at the games against the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Look at the games, you know, we saw the other night against the Clippers. De'Aaron Fox, if he doesn't go for 25, 30, 35, we got trouble scoring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not supposed to be that way in a Mike Brown offense. It's supposed to be an equal opportunity offense. But De'Aaron Fox, He's our only consistent, reliable guy. Malik Monk, maybe second. Domantas Sabonis, third. But Keegan's been up and down this season. Kevin Huerter, three straight games of, I think he scored 3 points over his last three games, something like that.
Now, you said he had a little injured finger last time we talked. Is that something going on there?
No, but that was earlier in the season.
Okay,
he had that,
yeah,
and
all right.
He busted out of that. And mm-hmm. So I can't use that as an excuse. And the defense is one thing. What's concerning to me is offensively. You know, this team hung its hat last season on offense, but too many times we've seen games where they go 7 of 40 from 3 or 12 of 45, whatever the percentage is, and that's concerning to me because no matter what, at least last year you knew the offense was going to bring it. Now we're seeing too many times the offense struggling out there.
Yeah, and we're a good 20-plus games in now, so you know, some of the early sample size stuff no longer applies. Some of it does, but not nearly as much. And the fact of the matter is, you got Thunder coming in tonight. Not to get bogged down in numbers, but the Thunder, as I mentioned on the crossover, they're top 10 in both offensive and defensive rating. They're number six in both.
Yep.
The Kings' offensive rating last year, they were one of the best offensive teams ever. Right now, they're 14th. And defensive rating, they're 20th. And you got a long ways to go here, but clearly there are some things there that the Kings have to figure out if they want to get back to where they were last year.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about building the championship, Whitey, and we look at the Denver Nuggets last season. You know, their defensive rating, 15th. But they had a great offense. Like, you got to do one or the other, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. last year we saw the Kings had an elite offense and a not-so-great defense. Right now, they're middle of the pack on both ends, and that's not championship-level basketball. And so they're still okay. You know, when you look at the whole season and you look at the Western Conference, you know, being fifth in the West, 13-9 on the year, but it just feels different. You know, we were 13-9 last season, but it just feels different so far this year.
Yeah, and how much of that has to do with expectations? Right. Also, when we come right back, could the Warriors actually be done? Could they be finished with Draymond Green? Drapes hasn't weighed in on the Draymond situation yet. We've got that coming up, and we'll be right back to the Golden One Center. The Drive Guys, last night on the George Gervin documentary, that's when I saw the documentary. You can see it whenever it runs now. It's streaming. They showed Marvin Gaye singing the national anthem at the All-Star game.
Yes.
Was it 83? I'm not sure of the year. I apologize. But it was interesting hearing all the players talk about how great that was and the way it was Well, Magic said it changed the way people would perform the national anthem from then on. But as you pointed out, I didn't know this, but George Gervin and Marvin Gaye were actually really, really close.
Really tight,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I had no idea. And you know, I'm a huge Marvin Gaye fan. Read his biography, everything. And that was one nugget that I didn't know until I saw yesterday in the little snippet that they ran on NBA TV that those two guys were super close. And so I got to go check that out, man. I'm definitely going
to
check it out.
Yeah, at one point, and not to spoil it for you, but at one point, George Gervin says he went to see Marvin Gaye towards the end of his life, and Marvin Gaye wasn't doing much, and he was just kind of staying at home and laying around. And George Gervin says, come on, let's go out. Marvin Gaye says, there are very few people I would get up for right now, but you are one of them. So how about that?
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Uh-huh. Cool. And the Kings back in action tonight. We're just talking about how this year so far feels a little different. Last year, obviously, everything was, boy, fingers crossed, hopefully they'll be good. And wow, they were one of the top seeds in the West. So how much of this year, the odd feelings, do you think have to do with expectations fans brought into the year that maybe were a little out of whack?
I think a lot of it has to do with that. I think, you know, it's a number of things when you look at it. One, it's obviously
catch the Kings tonight on.
You want this team to be better, go farther when it comes to the playoffs. But also you don't want them to take a step back. You don't want last year to be looked at as a fluke. And I think Kings fans worry about that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when you look at some of the criticism from the outside media, the national media, going into the season. Like, Kings were a great story last year, but they were super healthy and, you know, they're going to take a step back. And nobody wants this team to take a step back. The interesting thing about it is when you look at the standings in the Western Conference, you know, the Kings are tied for – they're sixth right now at 13-9. You know, they're only a game and a half behind the Denver Nuggets. Nobody's panicking in Denver. But, you know, why are we all upset and worried right now? You know, they're not panicking with the Clippers right now. Even Phoenix isn't panicking. But for some reason, there's this narrative, this belief around Sacramento right now where, you know what, we should be better. And I think it's because of the way they're losing games.
Right.
The 20-point losses, the blowout losses. One minute they can look so good, so great, and then the next they can look so bad. And, you know, watching that game, and it was the first time, you know, all season I was able to watch a game at home and just really, you know, see it from that perspective.
Yeah, but you're all hopped up on cold medicine probably.
Yeah, yeah. Still am, though. So I might say something okay. over the next couple.
All good.
But they look lost out there, right? Like, yeah. They looked like a team that hadn't played together, that didn't have an identity. I think Katie said it on the radio yesterday with Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross. They look like they got punked out there. And if I'm Mike Brown, that's concerning to me. If I'm the fan base, that's concerning, because you walk into a game, at this point, you don't know which Kings team is going to show up. Mm-hmm. That's honestly how I feel. I'm hoping and wishing and thinking that they'll come out and play inspired ball tonight, but you just don't know.
One of the theories as to why the Kings have been getting battered on the road on a somewhat regular basis, and I don't even know if it's a theory, it might be factual, but it's, hey, you know what? They've played a lot of teams that they just have issues matching up with. The Warriors, the Pelicans, who else have they led? The Rockets,
Rocket.
Bad matchup for them. Now, that either way, that's bad news, because if it's true, that's not encouraging, right? That you've got four teams in your conference that you can't match
right.
up with.
It'd be different if these were Eastern Conference teams.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to see them in the playoffs until the finals. But, you know, think about it. You got three losses to the Pelicans. You got two to the Clippers. You got two to the Warriors.
Right.
That's, you know, eight of your losses right there. And so it is a concern. And then the two against the Rockets. So those are your nine losses right there. But when you look at the Western Conference, Denver's long too. The Lakers, even though we've beaten them, they're a long team. And so I just think if you're talking about being a championship contender, we've talked about this before, you should be able to adapt your style no matter who you're playing,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, whether you're playing a physical team, all right, bring them on. We got
teams should be matching up to you.
Right, exactly, exactly. And talking to Doug Christie over the years, that's one of the things that frustrates him the most, is that, you know, when we sort of, you know, succumb or bow down or whatever the phrase may be to other teams instead of dictating the pace and how we want to play. Like, we should make teams adjust to us and have issues trying to guard us and play us instead of vice versa.
I think one of the issues for the Kings so far, and again, we know they're 13-9, but we've got high aspirations. One of the things that they have had troubles with to this point, I think, is some of the things they did in the offseason that were designed to improve them, they just haven't worked out yet. They still can. For example, the bench. They made a lot of moves to strengthen the bench, and the bench has still been a little erratic. And we thought Dave Young was going to have a big year perhaps this year, and right now, you know, he's really struggling. They bring in Vezinkov, and he's had his ups and downs. I know you were talking Monday about how, you know, you're ready to give him more minutes. Maybe he's there, but he's had some ups and downs. And the other thing is Keegan. Keegan was supposed to be a lot better this year. That's part of the plan to get better. And so far, he's had his moments, but he hasn't really gained a lot of momentum towards getting better. And then the other thing was the defense was supposed to be better this year just by virtue of them having played it all last season. So far, those three things, they're not gaining a lot of traction on those yet. So that's why sometimes I think it looks like they're spinning their wheels. But that doesn't mean that those things won't start.
Right. And if those things do start clicking, man, you're talking about a different team. But, you know, I want to continue this conversation this way. We're saying all these things are. Tell me what is clicking right now for the Kings outside of De'Aaron Fox.
Well, I was going to say Domas and De'Aaron are, you know, obviously they've shown so far. Last year was hardly a fluke. They're legitimate, you know, all NBA caliber players. Malik Monk's playing well. And then they've had, that's a frustrating thing. The moments where, wow, the 3-point shots are falling.
Yeah.
You know?
And
Trey Lyles has had his moments.
Yeah.
But it's been a little, other than those two, it's been a little erratic and sporadic.
And so I'm going to look at it in an optimistic view of things. This team hasn't even played a real, really great game yet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the other night, Monday against Brooklyn, was their best, you know, one of their best offensive games, sure. But there's so many question marks surrounding this team, so many unanswered questions but yet they're still 13-9 in the top six in the Western Conference. So as a Kings fan, I should be encouraged. And you have six straight games at home. Now, and I know the competition is tough, Boston, Phoenix, Minnesota, those kind of guys. But now is the time, man, if you can go 5-1 on this homestand, you know, you're talking 18-10 at that point. Please, we're talking a different level. And so as frustrating as it's been so far, as disappointing to an extent it's been so far, the opportunity is still there. There's still a whole lot of games left. And the Kings, this month, when they have 10 out of 15, I think it is, here at home, they can make up some ground big time right now.
I think that's a great point. Yeah. That's why this is such an exciting time as they start this homestand. And the bad games they've had when they've got blown out, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe that has happened here. It's all been on the road.
Just the one Clippers game. Just the one Clippers game. But outside of that, the rest, I mean, I don't know if you want to count the Pelicans game in the in-season tournament. That was, you know, but that was close for, you know.
Yeah, they were in. They were competitive. In it,
right, they were competitive. But in terms of just laying over, not showing up, the Clippers game, and that's about it. And so I think, you know, when you look at it, having a day off yesterday, you know, if you're Mike Brown, you're showing them the film of that Clippers game. Hopefully, as a player, you're pissed off. You're like, we got to be better than this. You know, the thing that frustrates me, though, Whitey, is how many times do we have to have this talk? How many times do we have to, you know, after a big loss or a 20-point loss, all right, hopefully they're mad right now. Hopefully
there's no more wake-up calls.
There's no more wake-up calls. And so I'm sitting there, I'm watching the game the other day, and I'm thinking to myself, is this what this season is going to be? It's like some highs, but then also some lows. That roller coaster we talked about. And here we are 22 games in, and it's looking like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like two steps forward, one step back kind of thing.
Yeah, that's why to me this homestand is so important, because at the end of this homestand, I think you'll have a pretty clear idea. All right, are we better than we had been? Are some of these things starting to work for us? Or are we going to have to look in another direction? And, you know, I think after these six games, you'll have a clearer idea, and Monty McNair will have a clearer idea of what exactly this team is. And there's every reason to be excited and optimistic. But if they don't play well, then I think they got to make some hard choices, because you still have every chance, no matter how this homestand goes, to have a special season.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, regarding the trade deadline, if I'm Monty McNair, am I thinking, you know what, Keegan hasn't got going yet. We haven't had everybody hitting all at once. We haven't seen this team, you know, really playing well all at once. And do I reserve judgment until then? Or is the 22 games enough to see where this team is lacking, where this team has some deficiencies, and I have to address that come February? You know, I will say, when you look at this Kings team and where they are right now, I think it's time to go for it. I think it's time to, whether it's an OG or Pascal, whoever it may be.
Really?
But, I don't think, you know, this whole let's slow roll it, you know, let's wait, let it play out, like give Keegan another couple years. And I think whether it's this trade deadline or this offseason, you start cashing in some of those assets, some of those draft picks that you have. Because I don't think this team needs, you know, a number 22 overall pick or something like that. I think this team needs now is some veterans, some guys who are sort of in their prime right now that can help put you over the hump. I don't know who that is, but enough of the, we're going to save our draft picks, we're going to make our draft picks, or we're going to trade out and get a 2 second rounders. No, you know, I would have liked them to go get somebody this past offseason. It didn't happen. I think you got to strike now, because I'm looking at OKC, a team we'll see tonight. They're ready. They're already there.
I got a guy for you that I think fits the bill in a lot of ways. And I believe, you know, you look at the trade machine, it works out. You could actually probably make this deal if the other team was willing. So I'll see what you think of that. And this is a guy that is a pretty big name that people are well aware of, and a lot of people wanted him over the summer. So we'll see if this is a potential trade that Kyle Draper likes when we come right back to the Golden One Center. It's a Drive Guys on Sacktown Sport. Hey, welcome back. It's the Drive Guys here, Golden One Center, getting ready for the Kings, their return, taking on OKC tonight. Kyle Draper says, time to make a deal. I think I may have a player that he'd be interested in.
All right, let's hear it. You got me intrigued. Before, and don't come up with no OG or somebody we've been talking about ad nauseum. Like, I need you to dig deep into NBA rosters.
All right,
this one.
All right. Before we do that, if I may, okay. I just got a text from Emil. I would like to, can I just quickly share with you the list of 49ers who did not practice today?
Oh, yeah. Who's he got? Yeah. What,
we got Armstead, you got Hargrave,
ooh.
Greenlaw,
mm.
Burks, Mitchell,
ouch.
Ward, and Banks.
Ouch.
Didn't practice. DNP today.
Uh-oh.
Did not practice.
Keep an eye on my Eagles, baby. We may be back in play. Get this win this week. Niners banged up. Who knows?
Little banged up. Yeah, I thought that might make you feel better. Remember, they're playing Arizona, though. So
same Arizona team that beat Dallas earlier this year?
Actually,
now they got
no,
Kyler
they
Murray.
Don't have
right,
the
they
same guys.
Right, you're right.
Yeah, it's actually not.
Is it?
Yeah. Anyway, be that as it may. Okay, so we realize the Kings here may have to make a move in order to upgrade and put themselves in position to compete down the stretch here. We don't know that yet, but they may have to. So we're just looking at potential names, and we're getting upon the date where some of these guys are eligible to be traded now.
Yeah.
This guy, I believe, is not quite – you can't quite trade him yet. I think he's a January 15th guy.
All right.
Okay? But I went to the trade machine. You could do this, and obviously there'd be more involved. You could trade if you wanted. You could trade Harrison Barnes, salary-wise, and Davion, and you'd probably have to throw in some, you know, some future draft capital.
Picks, yeah.
To Portland for Jeremy Grant. You could do that.
Jeremy Grant, an interesting name.
I'm not saying you should. I just noticed today that you could. I will tell you this. A couple days ago, we were talking to the High Flyer. And High Flyer, I believe he is very high on Jeremy Grant. I give you a chance to ponder it.
I got
to
digest this.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
To me, he's more of a small forward who – in the past, I think you could look at his team and say, boy, he puts up good numbers, but his teams haven't done well, which may or may not be his
right.
fault. Doesn't rebound especially well, and I think he's a good defender, but I don't know if he's good enough to really help me in that area. So I don't think I would want to do that, but that's a pretty big name that, according to the salaries and the trade machines, you could. You have the wherewithal to pull that off if you wanted.
Jeremy Grant, that's a tough one. Because there's been some talk even before the season was being mentioned. Because if I'm correct, I think he was a free agent, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I guess maybe they thought Dame might come back, and they re-upped him.
Yeah, they re-upped him.
22 points a game so far this year, 41% from the three-point line. Last year he was at 40% from the three-point line.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I had a conversation with someone in Portland about Jeremy Grant, actually, and this was before the season. And, you know, the narrative is, sure, he puts up points, but he's not a great defender. The numbers didn't indicate that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this person I was talking to said, throw out the numbers. First of all, nobody on Portland was playing defense last year. And they said, you know, this guy is long. He's athletic. He can be a plus defender for you. And so I think that's an intriguing name. I'm not against that at all. I would like to hear from Kings fans out there, 916-339-1140. Jeremy Grant, is he the guy that we need? Is he the – now, let me ask you this, because I think he's a tremendous player.
He's 6'7". He could play
right.
both. I think he's more of a 3 than a 4, but he has played 4 in his career.
Yeah, but let me look up his wingspan. He has a 7'3 wingspan, and so he's 6'7", but defensively he's 7'3 out there, you mm-hmm. know, wingspan, passing lanes and everything like that. And so – but does that put you over the top? I don't know if it does, but I do think it moves you closer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big believer in when guys go to a certain system, it matters. And so he's playing in Portland, putting up numbers, but that's not winning basketball right now. If he comes to Sacramento, a winning culture, a winning team, a team that's going for it, you might see a better version of him. Maybe not more points or anything like that, but in terms of efficiency, in terms of impact. You know, right now he's just getting his buckets and his rebounds and everything like that. But you put him on a winning situation around better players where he's your third option maybe? Come on now.
Yeah.
I would not be opposed to a Jeremy Grant.
Again, if somebody looks it up, you'll find that you cannot make this trade now because I don't think you could trade him till January. And even HB you can't trade till, I think it's tomorrow. is when you could trade him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this deal would work financially. We don't know if Portland would be interested. And you'd probably, as I said, Kyle, don't you think you'd have to be willing to part with at least a number one? The Kings have.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
Yeah. Through 25 through 29, I think they have all their picks.
All their picks.
First
yeah.
and second. And then in 2030, they have a number one as
because
well.
Because if you're Portland, why would you do that? Not for the players, you know, if you, let's say you didn't
yeah.
include it. HB wouldn't be part of their future or anything like that. They're not making that trade for Davion. So they're in a rebuild, and so they probably want more cracks at that first-round lottery mm-hmm. kind of situation. And so I like Jeremy Grant. I like that. You surprised me with that one. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, six,
I don't
seven,
think but, I would do it, but you probably would, huh?
Well, I don't know if I'd give up two first-rounders for him, but I don't know. I said it before. You got to do something if you're Monty McNair. I think whether it's in February or whether it's in the offseason, you got to improve the roster if we're talking about competing for a championship.
Yeah, and he is under contract for a while.
Yes.
He's making a lot of money, but you don't
yes.
have to worry about bringing him in. And then, what, he left already like you do with Siakam I'm out on, and I like him, but he's starting to decline a little bit, it
really?
Appears.
You're out on Siakam?
Yeah, and he's not defensively, he's not great. He's put up big numbers, but there's too much risk involved there. Ananobi, I think, would be a great fit. But again, does he want to be here next year? You'd have to do some backdoor channeling there, right, and find out. Would he maybe be interested in staying before he'd have any interest in doing that? But Grant is a guy that would be under club control for a few years if you traded for him.
Well, let me look at his what did he sign? A five-year 160 with the Portland Trail Blazers?
He ain't cheap.
So he ain't cheap, you know. What's that work out to? About $30 million a year. So he's at 27.5 now. Goes up to 30, then 32. Whew, that's a lot. and that's your team.
Yeah.
That's it. That's,
yeah.
that's all you're doing right there. Your big three, you're tying a Domas, Grant, and De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That concerns me.
Yeah.
And you got to re-sign. And Keegan, yes, but then you got to re-sign Malik Monk.
Right.
You know. Yeah. That has to be a priority, right?
Uh-huh.
And so
it's tempting, but I don't think
yeah,
I'd do it. I'd look
yeah.
long and hard at it, but ultimately, nope.
Nah,
I don't think
nah
I'd do
you're
it.
Right. I tend to agree with you. But that's the issue we're going to have, though,
yep.
if you're Sacramento. Who is that guy, then? If it's not Jeremy Grant, if it's not Pascal, OG, maybe it's OG.
Zach
you know?
LaVine.
Is
I don't
it
know.
Like Zach LaVine? Is it Caruso? Like, I don't know if there are any slam dunk moves out there for Sacramento, and that bothers me because I think you have to let's go by position. Let's say we need a backup point guard, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Malik's doing a heck of a job. Keon's showing some flashes. Davion's in and out. Like, if you're talking about building a championship, I think you need to upgrade that position. Maybe it's an Alex Caruso.
It is.
I think so.
I think he definitely helps you. I don't know if he helps you enough, but I mean he. Appears to be a guy that just fits you like a glove.
Yes, but with Chicago, like,
and we don't even know if they're don't even know if they're willing to trade.
Right, and I feel like another number of teams would want a guy like
yeah.
Alex Caruso.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like the Lakers would probably try to get him back. I think you look at Philly, they might try and swing at that as well. And so there's going to be some competition. And I'm glad I'm not in Monty McNair's shoes. I don't know about you. I'm on Twitter all the time, and I still refuse to call it X, so I'm going to call it Twitter.
Yeah, me too.
And I see all these, so-called proposed trades, and everybody's working the trade machine, and it's nothing excites me. Nothing says, like, yes, that's the deal. We need to do it because it takes two to tango as well, and so a lot of these deals people throw out. Why would the other team do that?
Yeah.
You know? And so I think the Kings are in a tough spot. They have their picks, yes. They have some assets, yes, that they can move in terms of players. But who's that guy that's really going to move you forward?
I thought maybe I'd found him for you.
You didn't even find him for yourself, though. You
I don't want him. I just thought you would want him.
No, I like him as a player, but, man, he's expensive. You got to give up a lot. And does it really put you?
That's the thing.
That much closer.
There's a really good chance it doesn't.
Right.
Just
right.
kind of moving things around a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. And so I don't know who that player is that can. Maybe it's packaging something and trying to move up in the draft. Maybe.
Now, haven't
I don't know.
You heard? I've heard. Haven't you heard that this draft pro scouts think this upcoming draft is like, eh,
yeah, no,
nothing
yeah,
to get excited
exactly.
about.
I think the following year is supposed to be. Is that the one?
And scouts are never wrong. We know that. Yeah. They're never
right.
wrong.
Yeah. I feel like every year it's either this draft yeah. off or it's yeah. a tremendous draft. But I don't know what you do if you're Monty McNair. But I think we can all agree that, you know, if we're chasing the championship, some tweaks need to be made
yeah.
for the roster.
Yeah, I agree with that. Giannis wants his ball back, and we'll find out whether he got it when we come right back to the Golden One Center, Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, Sacktown Sports. Hearing from some of the smartest listeners in radio on what the Kings should do at the deadline, coming to you from the Golden One Center, of course, Kyle Draper is back today.
Yes.
Kyle Draper saying, oh, can you tell I'm not feeling tip-top? No, you sound great.
Really? All
yeah.
right.
You sweating profusely over
off.
There, though?
I am sweating a little bit, you know.
And bird flu still hadn't exited your system yet, huh?
I'm not getting too close to him, Jay. Just let me put it that way.
Oh, you can't catch the bird flu. Don't worry about that.
Oh, okay.
Hey, man. I'm
only certain people can catch that type
of
flu.
I was at Levi's Stadium the other day, Jay. I was down there in Santa Clara the other day. Got sick down there seeing all that red.
Your immune system just said, nope,
you're
not
shut
doing
down,
this.
Right?
Yeah.
I forgot you went to the game. How was the experience? I didn't get to hear about it.
Nah, it was awful, man. It was terrible. Dude, it was. You know what, Jay? You'll appreciate this, man. The tailgating was pretty good, though. Like, just the music, the vibes. You know, I'm hearing, you know, obviously E-40. I'm hearing some Too Short. I'm hearing, like, you know, some DJ Quick. And I'm like, this is what tailgating is.
You're hearing Bang Bang Niner Gang.
I did hear that several times. Several
bang, bang,
times.
Niner Gang.
That's all right. Have your fun now, Niners fans. Have your fun. Still a lot of football left to be played. And the Niners are banged up. They might lose this weekend. I mean,
well, I guess.
My boy Kyler Murray out there, that's my guy.
Oh, okay. That's your guy now. All of a sudden,
all of a sudden
oh, okay,
my
all
guy.
Right. Jay, was I that going back you. To Oklahoma, or how's that your guy?
No, just this week. For this week only, I need him to go out there and look like a Joe Montana, Tom Brady, or something like that, man.
Jay,
one week.
Yeah, Kyle was saying that he was so high up that when he wanted to check the score, he had to look like way down for the replays and the score.
That's when you know you're in the nosebleeds, right? Because usually when you go to an event, most of the time it's like, all right, I'm eye level. I'm going to look up at the scoreboard.
Sure.
No, the scoreboard was like below. I was in the last row at Levi's Stadium.
Sitting on the heavens, brother.
I could have touched the sky, man. Seriously.
So wait, real quick. I don't mean to, you know, bust it out like that. Were these self-purchase tickets or somebody else? Okay, which I figured.
First of all, I would never buy Niners tickets. Never in a million years.
Even if they played the Eagles at home.
In the NFC Championship game, maybe.
Okay. So, right, Eagles maybe. Come to Levi's Stadium, you're not buying tickets.
No, dude, I get the hookup. You know, I know somebody.
That's
somebody
true.
I don't know about your hookup,
up.
Though, if you're sitting up there and you're ducking airliners.
Seriously.
What kind of hookup is that?
You know how high it was? It started raining, but I was too far up high, so it didn't rain on me. I was above the clouds. Like, it was that far up.
Closer to God.
But it was fun, man. The kids had a great time, though. They enjoyed it.
You better check your connect, brother.
Yeah, you're right. I texted him. I'm like, dude, you didn't tell me these were the last row. He's like, I told you, man. I told you they're not good seats. And I'm like, oh, man, I got to get somebody new.
And you're on the home of the 49ers.
Exactly.
Home of the
49ers. I don't know who to talk to. Do I got to talk to you? You got some connections in the Bay. Right?
Jay's probably the way to go there.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to help you out now.
Oh, no. I always got love. I never take it personal.
I saw somebody anytime. Wearing Cowboys gear.
Ooh.
There as well. And he was very confident wearing it. And I honestly think right now, and Jay, you tell me, it's safer to wear Cowboys gear than Eagles gear right now.
No?
No.
No.
You sure, man?
I'm saying
it's kind of fresh and raw, man. I don't know.
It's not safe, but in terms, I mean, people are going to say things, but in terms of actually, you know, some physical violence, I agree with you.
That's what
seriously.
I think. I think the rivalry now with the Eagles, it's a rivalry, but it's nasty right now, too. There's some real hatred. There's a rivalry with the Cowboys. We get it. But I don't know, man. I don't know, because we both have the rival in common. Like, Eagles fans hate Cowboys fans. But right now, our rival is the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way that SmackDown happened, I see red. It bothers me, man.
On the other hand, 49er fans are smart, and they see somebody in Eagles jersey at first. They might start to react, then they go, wait, aren't they, like, fifth now? And so, then you know, it's not worth it. I think you might get some of that.
I deserve it, and I can take it. Just talk to me January 29th or whenever the NFC Championship game is, when we come into Levi's and get that W.
Looking forward to it.
So you've already conceded that you guys aren't going to win. You're not going to finish in first.
No, you guys got an easy schedule outside of Baltimore.
You guys got an easy schedule.
Yeah, we do.
Outside
really
of Seattle. Well, I mean, what?
But I think both teams probably win out. We'll have the same exact record. 13-4, that's nothing. No.
Don't you play the Giants four times or something?
I know.
Like
we got two against the Giants. Who is it? The Seahawks, the Giants.
Commanders. Yeah.
And
the Niners
Giants.
Play the Commanders too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
49ers have the Commanders and the Rams.
The Rams last week.
And
yeah.
The Cardinals.
Baltimore
and the
on Christmas.
That's very
and
doable.
The Rams, are the Rams playing for anything, maybe?
Yeah.
They're on the fringe.
They're still
yeah.
in the mix.
Yeah, they're
yeah,
playing for
so
playoffs right
game.
Now, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be a big game, so. Hopefully, I'll be a Rams fan that week.
Listen, before you jump back in, I just want to say on behalf of the Drive guys, Kyle, if you do need anything, we're more than happy to bring something over for the bird flu. So we'll bring you some soup. We'll bring you some bird seeds. We got everything that you possibly need, Lowell. Anything you need, we got it for you.
Long for this. I'll take it, man. I'll take it. You know what I found today, though? That Brock Purdy jersey. I actually picked it up off the floor. Like, literally, it's been sitting on the floor, wedged in between the couch ever since.
Whether you like them or not, it costs you, what, $185 or whatever?
$140.
Should you take better care of it?
No, I don't
know. Spent on it?
It's, dude, like I said, he's going to be out of the league in 2 or 3 years, you know? So I don't worry about it.
Save that one. We're going to save that drop.
Y'all remember growing up when you used to clean the windows with a rag? You know, you used to have Windex. Instead of paper towels, you used an old rag or something. That's what I'm going to use that Brock Purdy jersey for.
Yeah.
It's like cleaning the windows.
I just use Nick Sirianni's game plan right now. That's what I do.
It's trash.
Yeah.
It's been trash lately.
Some people weighing in here on King's trade ideas. HF says, this is on the YouTube chat, I don't think Grant makes the Kings a championship team. I'd rather be patient, get someone like P.J. Tucker. He can bring toughness to this team. I'm hoping Keegan can become someone like Jaylen Brown. P.J. Tucker, I think you could get right now.
Yeah, but that's not doing it.
No, I don't.
That's not.
Yeah.
What are you giving up for P.J. Tucker? Second-round pick?
Those giant dice that are on the court right now?
You know, maybe some old in-season tournament T-shirts or something.
Yeah,
exactly.
I like him, but he can't. I don't think he can help you anymore.
P.J. Tucker ain't going to get it done. There's a reason why he can't get off the bench with the Clippers. He was a big part of that James Harden trade, and now he can't even play for the Clippers. So thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, Scooter 916, the problem I'm seeing is the inconsistency with everyone right now. Huge Keegan fan. Even him, Herter, has been horribly inconsistent this season, getting minimal scoring from HB. And, yeah, we talked about that. That's one of the frustrating things. And, you know, if it's your business to evaluate this team, if you're Monty, like, what do we have here so I can decide what to do? Well, hold on. I need to see some consistency.
Right.
And then at some point you realize, all right, the inconsistency is just what they
what
are.
What it is.
Yeah.
Right? And,
yeah.
And it's that's frustrating, though, when you think about it, because I started off the season saying, give me 15 to 20 games and let me evaluate the team. And here we are 22 games in, about to go into number 23, and we still don't know who this Sacramento Kings team is. One thing I did see the other night is that Mike Brown's rotations seem to be shorter. Like, Chris Duarte, he was back, he was healthy, didn't really play. And so I think Mike Brown has his top eight and a half, and he's going to stick with those guys. I would give it another week or two, especially the six-game homestand against some very tough teams. But this is the NBA, and we talked about it, Whitey. Outside of Minnesota, Boston, is there anybody really OKC maybe lighting the world on fire where you feel like, man, they are just consistently great? Every team, it feels like, has some struggles at some point. Even Denver had some issues.
Right. Yes, that's true. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Just hope that starting tonight, with six home games in a row, that the Kings start to find some consistency. When we come back, and no, we haven't gotten to Draymond yet. I'm dying to know what Kyle thinks of Draymond and what the league should do and what they did. We haven't gotten to Giannis yet. We still don't know if he got his ball back. But when we come back, tell you that there's one quarter in which the Kings have just really struggled. Do you know what it is? Have you noticed that? Of the four quarters, of course, it's four in a game. There's one quarter in which the Kings have been terrible. Tell you what that is and try to figure out why that is when we come back to the Golden One Center on Sacktown Sports.